This is Daniel Cerrone, writer of episode 104, The Hyena. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
A fine cigar, the family pet, and the love of a good woman are the clues we seek on the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. Greetings one and all, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I am Agent Aaron Peterson. I am back, and I want to know, Troy, how many clues have you solved? How many clues have you solved? Apparently, that's a question we have to ask 16, minimum 17 times. Thanks for joining us yet again on the final season of The Blacklist for number 200. We have hit 200, The Hyena, the blacklister of the lowest order, Red's words, not ours. It was written by Daniel Cerrone and directed by John Terleski. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. Say that three times real fast, but also, how many clues have you solved?
He did ask that quite a bit, did he not?
He did. Like the first 5 minutes, he kept asking it very, very, very demandingly.
How many?
Oh, wait, that's Eddie Murphy.
How many lookalike people can be in one episode for Aaron to absolutely hate it? Because we know he doesn't like twins. And so Eisendrath and company said, well, you know, Aaron, since you don't like twins, we're going to give you triplets instead.
That's all. Like, as soon as it came up, I'm like, not only twins, but triplets? Are you kidding me right now? Let's go back to humana. Ain't nothing. No, friend. Sorry. I got a little Eddie Murphy delirious in my head, and it's not going anywhere.
Oh, my goodness. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you're coming back, you know, we do the profiling question of the week, then get into the case profile. We'll talk to all of you, the fans, and have all kinds of fun. So we did ask last week if Quentin Dodd was going to be seen again this season. I should say we didn't ask last week. I asked last week because I was the only one.
Yeah, you were solo. How was that? I was doing a podcast all on your own.
I was like, okay, how am I going to stretch this into 20 minutes of something?
Sorry, man. I mean, we had a plan. It just, the plan fell through. So,
it's okay. Sorry. Rory is alive. He just, for some reason, overslept or something. I don't know.
Hey, things happen sometimes.
It's a Sunday night air schedule. People just don't know when the Blacklist is on right now.
I would have came and helped out, but I was with Chris Pine and Keanu Reeves and Bruce Campbell. So I just had more important things going on.
Oh, did you run in your buddy Damon Lindelof by chance?
I did not. Amanda from The Hollywood Outsider, she ran into Damon Lindelof, and she asked me, is there anything I want to ask him? And I said, is he ever going to have a series that actually answers questions? And she said she would not ask that. So, you know, yeah. I get it.
Don't want to burn the one that you won't actually get an answer to. I understand.
I suppose. But Keanu Reeves, I will tell you, exactly the angel you think he is. True story.
Until you kill his dog and make fun of his wife.
Then. Oh, man. John Wick Chapter 4, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Best one of the series. If you guys are looking for a movie this weekend, John Wick Chapter 4 is phenomenal.
It's March 24th that comes out, I believe.
Yes. Look for some TV spots because my name's supposed to be in them. Just saying. They're quoting my review is what they told me. So look for that.
That'll be good. So what about Quentin Dodd? We're going to see him again this season? What do you think?
98% said no. Tied in with Clue. See what I did there? A few people said yes. The yes people are like, Red would not have given him the watch if he wouldn't come back up in the future. Would you? You probably agree with that.
I would say he'd come back up again. So he was an interesting enough character that you make a whole, 25% of the episode about the watch thief and then do the whole tracker thing. So he'd have to come up again at some point in the future. They made a point to say, like, we're tracking him to his hideout.
Well, guess what our question is for next week? And I know you know because you wrote the question, but here it is. Will Robert Vesco turn on Red? Will he? It seems like he might, but maybe that's just like a red herring. Red herring. Maybe. Or what do you think? What do you think?
I think that this is actually an interesting storyline that I'd love to see if he plays Red or if he plays Wu Jing at the end of the day.
That's true, because there is a possibility that he forgives Red and he plays Wu Jing, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, that's the question. Will Robert Vesco turn on Red?
Well, we'll find out from all of you on Facebooks and Twitters and all that fun stuff. But before we reach the end of the sun's rays, let's go ahead and get into this week's case profile.
So, Troy, how was the, before we get into the case profile, how was the episode by yourself? Did you have a hard time trying to do that? Or you just said, screw it, I'm just going to go through and talk about what I want to talk about and get done with this?
I just basically went in and said, okay, I can recap the episode and do a very simple thing that you typically do, which is fairly easy, except to write a blog post for it anyway. And then I found that article about the January 6th stuff in the Secret Service and how they had to replace everybody when Biden came in. And I was like, that's a nice tie-in. We'll talk about that. So it helped flush it out. And some very good listener feedback. Really great idea that
came up. Did you write all the feedback as well?
Yeah, I did.
Just gave yourself a different magic name.
Charles.
Nice.
Susie.
Well done.
Billy.
Well done. All right. Well, I thought, actually, I listened to it because I wasn't able to watch the episode last week, so that was a nice recap for me. So I thought you did a good job, especially solo.
Thank you.
I don't usually listen to anything solo.
Yeah, it was hard to keep it entertaining, that's for sure. So hopefully you all
liked
it.
Maybe Han Solo. If it was Harrison Ford, I'd probably listen to it, but normally I don't listen to anything solo.
Drinking
you did a
vodka,
good job.
Drinking vodka.
Especially like having to pivot pretty quick.
Yeah, like literally 10 minutes. That's all I had, and I was like,
I totally would have popped down and just made it up like I'd watched it, but I think that people would catch on pretty quick.
That's nothing different than you've
been doing that the whole
10 years.
Time. Right. I've been doing it the whole time. I haven't watched any of these. All right. Well, Will Reading for a treasure hunt goes sideways as Warren Boswick's attorney, Don Browning, takes a nasty fall courtesy of the hyena who is on the hunt for Warren Boswick's future. The post office has to track down Robert Vesco, but the hyena is on the hunt for three women, triplets. I should explain this for people that don't understand why I would say that I don't like the twin concept. I don't like the idea of twins in any storyline of television or film or anything else. It's a personal preference for me because I feel like it's an easy out for plot devices. It's just like, oh, they were twins. And we don't know that until the last 5 minutes. Well, at least here we know it at the beginning. That does make a difference to me somewhat, but I still am not a twin. A lot of people have thought, well, Red is a twin or something like that. That's been one of the theories from the early days, and I just don't want anything to do with twins. Nothing against you if you are a twin. I'm sure you and your sibling are a delightful person. I just don't want you in my TV or movies.
There was one particular Christopher Nolan movie that involved twins. And I'm just curious if you liked that concept.
It.
You hated it.
Freaking hated it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of twins, right? And some would call them clones, but yeah.
Well, the one was clones, but.
I hated it. I hated that. I just feel like it's an easy out for too many plot. It's a plot machination. That's all it is. It's just an easy way to try to deceive the audience. And I've actually, a little known secret, I dated twins in high school. Guess what? You can tell the difference. Come on. They're not impervious to be able to, it's not impossible to identify them. So it's just, silly, silly, silly thing. This works mostly because it's told at the beginning. It's not something where they try to pull the wool out from under you. So there you go.
So you're okay with, you're okay with triplets this time. This time.
I mean, I still don't like it. I mean, I would rather just it was three sisters. I don't know why it had to be triplets. I mean, I guess you save on casting. The budget. You save a few bucks on budget. I don't think it was necessary, but it wasn't awful. I don't think, you know, I think Molly Bernard tried. She plays Cordelia, Kendall, and Alex Boswick. You know, she tried. It's just when you know it's one actress playing all three parts, it's, you know. Very rarely is that going to work for me personally. What about you?
I mean, I didn't think it was bad per se. I thought she sold the schizophrenic sister well. I thought she did the very accomplished sister well. And then the other one just wasn't around long enough to care. So, yeah, I think overall, I didn't understand why it had to be triplets either. Because it's not like they had to do any kind of like all three of the same thumbprint or something, right? Because they would have identical thumbprints to unlock a safe. you know, that might be a way to, the twins made no sense in the story. You could have a brother and two sisters, or, you know, an uncle, an aunt, and a whatever. It was just three family members. So the fact that there wasn't anything specific about the twins in the episode made the twins just, or triplets, not not be an issue for me. I just didn't see why it was needed.
It usually isn't. And they didn't even really do any big double cross like you would expect if you're going to have the old triplets thing there.
Yeah, like I'm actually, what were their names? Cordelia, Kendall, and Alex. Like Kendall mm-hmm. is actually Alex, and Alex was actually dead or something, you know. They didn't even do that in this episode.
Which I'm actually okay with, because it probably would have irritated me if they did, because that's usually why I don't like it. It's a cheap plot machination. So at least they were just, hey, they're sisters. And maybe it's a casting thing. I mean, this way you save, you don't have to cast three actresses. You can just cast one.
But you got to buy an extra that's got to do the back head shot, and they're in the same room together. And then you got to pay VFX in order to do them in the same room together at the same time. If they're both,
you just put the wig on Spader, and then everybody thinks it's Katarina.
It's true. They were redheads.
Bazinga. A scavenger by nature hunts down fortunes by torturing and murdering family members to get it. Stacy Keach returns for this episode. Red needs him for a job, so to speak, which is this treasure hunt. And we find out that Warren's fortune has doubled in Bitcoin. Yeah, maybe he hasn't checked it lately. I doubt it's still doubled. But it's an anonymous digital wallet with three pieces that are required to reveal the passcode. So the whole idea is that each sister has a portion of the passcode, and it takes all three to get it to open. But it's trapped in this poem. And Red and Robert are much better at treasure hunting than the sisters are, and they work together better than the sisters do, because the sisters are already trying to double-cross each other, which is a shame because they're sisters, but happens. Families are complicated. But Red and Robert, they get to smoke some cigars.
Yeah. It's a nice little bonding moment between the two of them.
I liked it. What did you think about having Robert Vesco back in the mix, so to speak?
I did like Robert Vesco in this episode and the way they used him to partner with Red versus them being kind of like on opposite sides of the coin like they had been in the past, where it looks like they're together, but they're mm-hmm. not really together. So to have them mm-hmm. truly be together, it kind of filled in that void of Red having somebody by his side, right? We've had, you know, obviously Dembe, and then we had the sisters last season. So having Red have someone to talk to, you know, as the episode goes along, I think that was a nice addition. And I love the whole kind of like national treasure type of hunt, right? When they're trying to get the code off of the lamp and really try to figure out what the clues are for this passcode that they need in order to unlock the digital wallet. I thought all in all, great job and much fun watching the two of them work together. Way better than watching the task force chase after the triplets.
I agree. Other than the onion ring bit. Yeah, that's pretty.
The onion ring.
I like the onion ring bit. That was pretty funny. But it was, I enjoyed seeing those two together. I think they play off each other nice. It is interesting to hear, because Red is talking a lot about death. He's really facing mortality. He's really kind of looking at the end game, so to speak. And I think he's looking to make amends with those he thinks he should make amends with. And Robert Vesco is one of them. Now, of course, that might be turned on its ear once they find out that he's actually the guy that puts you in jail. But we'll see. Time will tell on that one.
He's also the guy that broke him out of jail. But
true. True. Well, it seems batty, doesn't it? Sending your kids on a scavenger hunt to get their money. I find that interesting, because didn't Red kind of do that?
Yeah. In a way.
A little bit. But what do you think about this whole concept of sending, of Boswick having his daughters forced to work together, and then of course basically it ends up killing one of his daughters?
I mean, I like my kids, but I'm totally putting this into my will now. I think this is fantastic.
I like it too. You must work together or you can't have any of the money.
You have to figure out some kind of massive game or something in order to make it happen. And if you don't, and all the money gets donated to some dog shelter or something.
I like that too. Well, I'm stunned. This one of the sisters hired the hyena. That's why the hyena is involved. And the one who's willing to drug FBI agents, by the way. We find out that Alex has a cute pup, a Bichon Frise, I believe, is that dog. And I only say that because it looks just like my dog, which happens to be a Bichon. And the dog is tagged.
Is there a passcode in your dog's ear?
I checked. There is nothing. I would have totally have already offed my siblings so I could get that money otherwise.
Because your dog's been alive for a while, so there's a reason why that dog's hanging on.
My dog is, I think, embalmed at this point. My dog is like 17 years old. I don't know how that thing is still kicking.
Ah. It's a cutie.
She's the sweetest dog I've ever had. The Bichons are like the smartest dogs ever. You know, they're circus dogs.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. They use them in circuses because they are so easy to train because they're so intelligent. Uh-uh. And doesn't yap. It's not a yappy dog. Unlike this one on the show, which barked a lot. Mine does not do that.
Well, it barked a lot because it was alerting people to things happening. People breaking in.
People around your house, you get alerted, but it's not like the dog's just yapping because people are sitting there. Right. You know, like not one of those dogs. Ugh, those are the worst.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't have one like that at all.
I've heard yours. Yes, you do.
That's 100%. That is because mine's a Keyshawn, which they were Danish Northern Sea barge dogs back in the day. It's how people did not crash boats in the foggy Northern Sea.
Is this true?
It's a true story. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They're from Holland. And then
so your dog barks because it's advising of boats in the fog?
Yes, exactly. Well, the breed, not my dog specifically. The breed is designed that way.
It's like, how many boats are coming in that Chicago harbor?
Hey, we do have a lake. There is a lake here.
That's true. It's a big lake. That's funny. Well, Robert and Red have some fun debates. I really liked having them together. I love Stacy Keach. And I think he and Spader play off each other very well. So that worked a lot for me. I really enjoyed that. And Cordelia shoots the hyena and leaves Alex alive. And then each story must reach an end, including this one. I
was so surprised by that. So surprised.
Were you?
No. Did you not?
Okay.
I know it's late after the show is over. So it's like,
I'm very tired.
Detect sarcasm there.
Because I saw that coming about 5 minutes in, I think, as soon as I knew one of them was going to be working with the hyena, and I figured that was going to happen. That felt pretty textbook.
Well, and if you're following the blacklist, you know, as I ran it down last week, you know, even though it's the hyena's the blacklister, it's always somebody else that's the person we're really trying to go after.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a nice discussion on fathers. And they find the key and an NFT, which is a non-fungible token. Is that what it stands for? And or what the kids call a TikTok. I did like that line a lot. I did.
Don't forget about Stacy Keach using the chat snap.
Yeah, chat snap. There you go. There was some good dialogue here. Some good back and forth between those guys. I enjoyed them quite a bit.
And Tadash is just sitting there going like, please, dear God, get me out of this room as fast as possible.
Yes, exactly. But ultimately, they get the money, and Red gives Robert 1/3 and Alex a big chunk as well. Doesn't look like Red was even really that concerned about it. I think he was just trying to make amends with Robert Vesco. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and give him one final kind of hoorah, final fun thing to do between the two of them at the end of the day. I think that's really all it was, mm-hmm. was just, hey, let's hang out as buds.
So overall, what did you think about this episode? Because we're, what, 4 episodes deep? It looks like the way that I'm seeing it, it looks like it's going to be, we're going to run into May and then it's probably going to hold the rest until fall is the way I see it. So if that is the case, we don't have anything for sure on that. But if that's the case, that means we're about 1/3 of the way through.
Yeah. And I think this week compared to last week, this week at least gave us the tie into Wujing. So that helps. But again, it's a lot of TV just to get to, you know, 2 minutes of tie into the rest of the season. We need to move faster. I think this is the problem with network TV. We just, everybody's like, move faster. Like, you did a whole video game in 9 episodes.
You're really stuck on Last of Us, huh?
I missed it this week. This was the first week it wasn't on, and I was like, what do I do?
But you can watch The Blacklist. It's on the same time.
It was on an hour after Last of Us. That's what I was doing the last 2 weeks, but I didn't have anything to do before Blacklist came on this week.
We can watch the last week's episode again.
No thanks.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're kind of, I don't feel like I see an end game yet. It's probably part of what I'm wondering. It's like, you know, Blacklist has had so many big bads over the seasons and whatnot. I feel like by episode 4 of the final season, I should start to see some semblance of the end game. And I know Wu Jing's not going to be it. I just don't think he's that formidable of an opponent. So I wonder when we're going to start seeing that end game start to surface.
Yeah, I mean, like even in season five, right? We had Tom Keen basically look like he was dying in the first episode and knew that Ian Garvey was going to be the big bad for at least that first stretch.
Oh, and he was a hero, right? Because he killed Tom.
That's right.
He was a good man. Good man. Love him.
Well, that one third that Alex got, though, not a small chunk of change, that's for sure.
No, I'm sure it's a lot of money.
I'm sure she could buy all kinds of things to, you know, proof her apartment so nobody can spy on her and do all of her crazy, nutty things that she was doing.
And can I throw back? Were you happy to see Pennebaker last week?
Oh, yeah, totally. Pennebaker, yeah. Anytime Dee Dee's on, she does a fantastic job as Pennebaker. And the relationship between her and Cooper is always fun to watch. So, yeah, I think having her on the show is actually a good thing. Probably need a little bit more of her this season, actually.
Yeah, I agree. We need more of her. Are you missing Aram so far?
I mean, I miss Amir playing Aram greatly on the show. Do I need Aram in these episodes the way the episodes are currently written? No. The character would not have added anything to these episodes thus far.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, because apparently everybody can do it because, you know, whoever stays behind in the post office every week has the ability to do at least enough.
Everybody's able to do some computer work too. They just walk in, they can use that magic screen, everything.
Yeah,
ready to go.
Poker screen, it was Dembe's day to stay back. Last week it was Wrestler's day to stay back, and this week it was Sia's day to stay back. So cross training. We could do it. We could do this with one less FTE.
It's very important.
Saving money on benefits and on the budget.
So you have one actor playing three parts. So characters, you ready to move into characters? Was there any music worth
mentioning? There was no music again this week, so we really cut back on the budget this year.
Wow. Well, Dembe, you know, you already talked about it, hangs out with Wrestler, and Wrestler hangs out with Dembe. But they did have that onion ring debate, and I thought that was pretty good.
That's about all they did.
You got onion rings. Why didn't I get onion rings? I like that.
Yeah, I mean, for them being in the field together, you think the two of them would have had more to do, more dynamic between the two of them, more conversation between the two of them, especially Wrestler, who's been chasing Red the whole time. Like, this is a time for them to bond and share some stuff, right? But they're really just kind of are really background characters for the most part in this episode.
I agree. And Sia was too, really. She just go on a trip, tracks down the baddest sister of them all, but that's really about it.
Yeah.
Really, it's more Red-centric. You know,
which is okay.
I think most people were very ecstatic because especially the premiere where you had hardly any Spader. Now you've got a ton of Spader. So you can't really complain about that.
Yep. And Spader's been spinning yarn in this one. Good Red's rhetoric type thing to Robert Vesco's character. And then to also to one of the sisters he was giving a good spiel to as well. So, sure. Yeah, good to see.
Are you missing those? Do you miss the days where we got lots of monologues from Red?
Not like the huge monologues where Liz eye rolled after the first 2 minutes, but you know, the short quippy ones are good. You know, a good 30-second story is not bad.
We don't get many of those anymore.
No. So it was a pleasure to see two of them this week.
Absolutely. Tadashi's here. He's just as bouncy as ever. He's a fun addition. He's like a mere light.
Yeah. But on Red's payroll instead of the government's.
Exactly. I enjoy having him around. Cooper, he's really tired of Red just dropping by, even if he does cook him breakfast. And he asks him, do you even have a home anymore? Which is a good question. Do you think he does?
Yeah, the bathhouse. From last week.
He feels pretty detached, right?
Yeah, not in the move, trying to make sure that the circle doesn't close in around him or become not a circle at all.
I think he's chasing death at this point.
He's done that before, too. And by the way, there's still that mysterious illness that's never going to kill him.
I know. And I'm sure he's going to have another opium trip at some point.
Right. That's how they retcon everything. It was all the dream.
Don't say it. Don't even wish it into existence. So he's dropping by. He's cooking at Cooper's house. He's apparently napping. If my circle of friends gets any smaller, it won't be a circle. Oh, that was sad.
It was.
And yeah, it really was. So, and then he makes a statement to, I think it was Robert Vesco, at the moment of my death, I just want to feel alive. I really feel like Red is chasing death. Like, he's just wanting it to happen at this point. He's or at least accepted it. Maybe not wanting it to happen, but is accepting it.
Yeah, because if he wanted it, I mean, he'd just continue to do what he's doing, which is take the train, the cabs, no security detail, just be out in the open. Maybe he wants to die. Maybe he's his heart is empty because Liz is gone.
We haven't talked about this a whole lot. At the end of the season, or whenever the series ends, where do you stand on this? Because there's really two options. Red gets away with it, or three options. Red gets away with it and goes off into the ether. And then Red gets busted and goes to jail, or Red dies. Do you have a preference at this point?
I think a Klingon hero's death in the line of battle would be awesome. Or riding off into the sunset. He takes the hat off, sets the hat down, and just disappears.
So going to jail does not work for you?
Oh, hell no. We've done that once. Do not go back there.
Okay. So it's got to be one or the other. Either you get away with it or you die.
Yeah.
And do you have a preference?
I kind of like the symbolism of him just taking his hat off and setting it down and kind of walking away. Like, I'm finally done doing this and retiring kind of thing.
Me too. Yeah, I like that. I like that as an option. Then he lives. He'll still tell stories, but he won't have died anti-hero's death, really. It wouldn't be a hero's death.
Do you know he already did that once before?
True. Sure.
The end of season 8. But we should have ended the show.
Yep. All right. Well, nothing you do surprises me anymore. That felt like speaking for us to a degree. I miss when Red with surprises. I really don't feel like I've seen that so far this season. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Red really, you know, take us by surprise again.
Yeah, that's where you do the brr, brr. Mm-hmm.
Our days of betrayal are thankfully a thing of the past. We end Vesco meeting with a rep for Wu Jing and is told that Red trapped him. If you want to learn more, call this number and we'll send a car. And Wu Jing looks forward to discussing their shared interest. Yeah. So it's on the table.
Clever that Red goes, our days of betrayal are thankfully a thing of the past. And then it's like, well, nope, I betrayed you one more time.
Exactly.
That you didn't know about.
Either way. Okay. Well, anything else on this episode? I mean, that kind of covers it. It was pretty straightforward. I will say I did like a treasure hunt. I'm always a big fan of a treasure hunt episode. Like you said, National Treasure is something I like. The triplets thing, you'd think, just by knowing me, that I immediately would check out as soon as I heard that. But I stay with the episode, and I actually enjoyed this one.
I believe the text message I got as Aaron started watching it was, "Dear God." And I was like, I wasn't going to say anything because I knew where you were going.
But it was okay. It didn't bother me as much as I thought it would. It was fine.
I mean, technically one of
because
them died,
they didn't
so
do that.
One of them did die, so then it did become twins.
Oh my god! Now you're making me want to go back and unsay everything I said. That was positive. don't make me do it. Don't make me do it. No, I thought it was overall. It was a fun episode.
Yeah, I mean, all the episodes of season I think have been really great television. It's just that sense of like the fans know the end is coming and the fans are like, eh. So it's like,
yeah, don't feel like an end game is here.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't. Oh, well. All right. Well, I want to take a quick second and say thank you to those of you that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's PATREON, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. Also, special shout out to our task force members, Marilyn, Cindy, James, Jens, Joanne, Johnny, Justin, Karen, Catherine, Sharon, and Lacey Ann, and Vanessa, Emily, all official task force members. And all of these people receive cool gifts from us, and you could get one as well if you donate at the $20 level or higher. If you want a cool t-shirt or a coffee mug, which you know you do, you don't have to stay at that level forever, just a few months to get the cool gifts.
And for the $5 patrons, we're giving you the episode before everybody else, immediately after the show. So make sure you go ahead and throw $5 in the fedora over at PATREON. That's patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Go ahead and support the show for only 18 more weeks.
Dun, dun, dun. And we should also throw in fond farewell to Mr. Lance Reddick, who played Cowboy in season 1.
Yes, this is true. Lance Reddick did pass away, I believe, while he was in Austin at South by Southwest.
He wasn't there, I don't think. I was at Austin. I was in Austin for the premiere, and he was not there. He was not present. So just Keanu Reeves and Chad Stahelski were
there.
Were on the scene. But yeah. But he passed away, and it's right before his movie came out. Keanu Reeves said that they're going to dedicate the film to him, which is very sweet. And they definitely should. Hopefully they can get it in the titles before it hits theaters on the 24th.
Yeah, that'd be great if they could. Lance is obviously a big fan of mine because of four specific properties, right? John Wick, as Aaron mentioned, but also he played Matthew Abaddon in the TV show Lost. He was also Agent Broyles in the TV show Fringe, and he was also Silence from the video game Horizon Zero Dawn and Horizon Forbidden West. So I'm kind of bummed that he won't actually be doing his character because they're making Horizon as a TV show on Netflix. So it was going to be cool. Hopefully they got enough of Lance done for that show that he could reprise that role. But if not, that's just going to be a big missing piece for that story.
And I'll give you a fun one to go find. There's a little movie that he did called The Guest, which I loved. It has Dan Stevens in it. And he's great in that too. It's a little indie, but I love that movie, and he's great in it.
So, hey, Cowboy, we tip your hats to you, and thanks for all the...
He was so good. I loved him. I wanted so much more of him. I really did.
But that...
good guy.
Damn, Tom had to take him out.
he was a great actor, though. Great actor. He's been in so much stuff. The Wire, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So... All right, well, let's go to some special agent intel.
Right after this.
You obviously love podcasts, but are you also a fan of movies and television? Do you want to listen to a show that reviews entertainment honestly and casts pretentiousness to the wind? That debates both film and TV topics in a fun, good-spirited way, while still getting to the heart of why we all love them so much? Then don't miss the award-winning weekly podcast, The Hollywood Outsider, now available on your favorite podcast app or at TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
Hello, Garys. This is Susan Blumert, but my fans call me Mr. Kaplan. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Okay, well, here's a couple thoughts from the community. Only a couple this week. Traveling Slim says, watching the concert the Four Guns put on was great TV. Especially the older gentleman. Here's an idea. What if Red ends up hiring the Four Guns as some sort of security detail? Instead of the typical big muscle or marksman, they can blend into the crowds unnoticed, especially since Red seems to prefer public places nowadays. They may even be able to pickpocket a would-be assassin. I think that'd be a fun twist to the typical security detail. Side note, I wonder if the Skinner storyline will end up just being a throwaway episode. Will we ever hear about that again? Seems like a big deal in that episode, at least. I love the Four Guns as security detail idea.
Yeah. I mean, he does need some.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Why not? Caper here also said, haven't watched the show since John's reveal as he left the show back in season 8, but it was nice to hear your voice, Troy. You've always sounded like such an empathetic, sweet man. Aw, thanks.
What kind of shit? Did you write that? Are you Caper?
I am Caper.
Feels right.
I appreciate you listening to the solo show. I was nervous. I was nervous if it was going to work or not.
I really want to send a special shout out to everyone that had to suffer through 30 minutes of just Troy talking. I mean, you all deserve some kind of medal of some sort. I don't know, some kind of reward. I don't know what that reward would be, but we're going to get something out to you. You all deserve it. Heroes welcome.
There you go.
Just kidding. Last one. George Newman says, I think Red is looking to have Vesco by his side when his illness takes a turn for the worst.
The worst or like the worst? That. I mean, I like a good worst.
The worst. It's really late. He says worst. I say worst. We see what happens. What do you think about that? Like, he wants a friend by his side when he dies.
I could see that being a possibility, but I would assume that still Dembe would be there.
Could be. But maybe he just feels like he can't. It's not the same relationship anymore, you know? So he needs somebody who's a thick thief along with him.
Is he going to leave the Empire to Vesco? Because there's no one else to leave leave the Empire to now?
Why would you even want to leave it with a young person, right?
You would assume so. But since Tadashi looks like he's getting like 3 episodes coming up here, I don't know if that's going to be possible to give it to Tadashi.
What I hope they do, is Red leaves it to Aram.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And Aram uses it for good.
That would be cool.
I could see that.
That's like the
they still operate the task force.
Yeah. The one or two episodes that Amir gets to be in the season, and then he would know where Samar is, and then he can hook back up with Samar.
Of course. There you go. It problems works. Are solved.
Problem solved.
We are problem solvers. And speaking of, that's going to conclude this discussion. So now is the time to recommend The Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, or your neighbor. And when you do, please also recommend that they listen and subscribe to The Blacklist Exposed podcast. All the case profiles can be found at TheBlacklistExposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be heard.
That was an interesting transition. I was like, ending the show like solves problems? Is that how that...
If you're sick of hearing us, I mean, actually, we're about as long as last time. Like, you must have been very winded.
Usually I am, as Aaron knows too well. For more great Aaron and Troy hijinks, follow us on your favorite social media outlet. I'm at Troy Heinrichs. He's at Aaron Smirks. And together we are at The Blacklist GSM. Go ahead and hit us up and let us know how you liked The Hyena. I mean, this episode was definitely no laughing matter.
Oh, bazinga. Bazinga. That happened. Wow. All right. Well, big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question, which I already forgot. What is it? Will Robert Vesco turn on Red? Will he? Will he?
Or will he not?
Probably. He probably will. He probably will.
You probably won't find out until the fall.
You want to know what? I will leave you on other positive notes. Dungeons and Dragons is a very fun movie. Take your family. That's a good time. Evil Dead Rise, don't take your family, but it's still a good time. It's not a family movie. A lot of Evil Dead.
We should also make a play for Pinball, the man who saved the game.
Yes.
Just dropped
such a great movie.
On VOD, so you can rent that, iTunes, Prime, all that fun places. Check that movie out. It is a gem. You will absolutely love it. It's a very good docudrama.
Yes, great movie. Absolutely great movie. All right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody. Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
The Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.